Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. Five children die every day in the United States from child abuse and neglect. The headline for this story, taken from NBC News, read, California megachurch elder and her parents charged with murder, torture of adopted 11-year-old daughter. Sadly, Arabella won't be the last casualty of the adoption system. There's just too much money to be made. Now, the majority who adopt children have good intentions, and if they are no longer coping, they seek help, as any good parent would do. But a few, around 1-5% of adoptive parents, will abuse and neglect, and some of those will commit filicide. This is Arabella's story.
Potential this could be a death penalty case.
Good.
What are your thoughts on that?
Good. They should never, ever, ever be allowed out of those bars, out of custody. They shouldn't. If I could have them in a 2x2 cell for the rest of their lives in a little cage, like they put my baby in when she was 6 years old, still in a crib and in diapers at six, you joking me? Why do you get kids just to hurt them?
Arabella Sanbreno was born July 21st, 2011 in San Diego, California, to parents Toriana Flory and Chelsea Sanbreno. Arabella was the eldest of three girls. Her sisters born in 2014 and 2016. Unfortunately, Arabella's parents' relationship was toxic, and police were regularly at the family home on reports of domestic disturbances. The household being that damaging to the children's psychological well-being, CPS became involved and the girls were removed from their parents' custody. Now, there was no suggestion of any abuse or neglect of the girls at this time, but CPS didn't want the children exposed to the violence between the couple. 2017. The three girls were placed with foster parents, Letitia and Brian McCormack, in Spring Valley, California. There were high hopes for this foster placement. The McCormacks were a high-profile and well-respected family in the area. Letitia volunteered as an ordained elder at the Rock Church. I think her official title was Ministry Leadership Coordinator, and Brian worked as a U.S. Customs and Border Control agent, as well as volunteering as a crisis intervention specialist with the San Diego Police Department. Also living in the home to help the couple were Letitia's parents, Stanley and Adela Tom. They were retired and were able to help with the girls, who were aged between 1 and 4 years old at this time, while Letitia and Brian were working. And the Toms were also respected individuals in the community. Both were retired members of the San Diego Police Department, and they had volunteered for the patrol program, which is kind of like a neighborhood watch program. They go around and check on elderly residents and homes of families who are away on vacation. And this foster placement was seemingly going really well. So well that the McCormacks would officially adopt Arabella and her siblings in February 2019, changing the girls' surnames to McCormack. After this point, all visitation with their biological parents would cease, and Toriana and Chelsea would never see Arabella alive again. August 30th, 2022, 2 a.m. A call would come into 911 with the reports of an 11-year-old girl not breathing after choking on chicken broth. First responders arrived at the home on the 3300 block of Lakeview Avenue. Here, paramedics discovered Arabella on the floor and without a pulse. Heartbreakingly, I read that paramedics would later report the girl looking like, quote, a corpse with skin stretched over it, unquote. Arabella was rushed to Rady Children's Hospital in cardiac arrest. Unfortunately, she never regained consciousness, and 10 hours later, she would pass away. The damage to her tiny body was just too great for medical staff to save her life. Arabella's body was covered in bruising, lacerations, and 13 healing bone fractures. Her teeth yellow and calcified, her bones protruding from her skin. One of her hands was swollen. Arabella weighing only 48 pounds, or 21.5 kilograms, less than what she weighed when she went into the McCormack's care at age 5. Arabella was suffering from severe malnourishment, but it wasn't only her. When the deputies went to the home, they found Arabella's 5 and 6-year-old sisters also in dire need of medical attention. They too were rushed to hospital and taken into intensive care treatment. When deputies returned to the McCormack family home, Brian McCormack was sitting in his pickup truck in the driveway. As investigators approached the vehicle, Brian pulled out his service weapon, put it to his head and pulled the trigger, dying instantly. This POS preferring to die rather than face the consequences of what he did to Arabella and her sisters. It wouldn't be for another month before any arrests would be made. October 2022. Letitia McCormack and Stanley Tom were charged with murder, 3 counts of torture, and 3 counts of willful cruelty to a child. Adela Tom charged with 3 counts of torture and 3 counts of willful cruelty to a child. Adela only escaping the murder charge, as it was argued that while she didn't physically take part in the abuse to Arabella, she was the enforcer. She allegedly called the shots when it came to the girls' punishments. Letitia and Stanley were denied bail. However, Adela was granted a $100,000 bond due to her age, ill health, and inability to drive. She was placed on house arrest awaiting trial. This would all change after a later indictment, which added murder charges to Adela Tom, and in January 2024, her bail was revoked, all three pleading not guilty to all charges. Now, it should be a surprise to no one that there were reports of abuse before the call to 911 that resulted in Arabella's death. The first reported incidence of abuse was reported in 2018, before the McCormacks officially adopted the girls. Arabella's school, Highlands Elementary School, reported concerns about controlling behaviours shown by the McCormacks. At an after-school program, teachers actually witnessed Brian pinning Arabella down to see if she had any candies in her pockets. Arabella would tell teachers that her parents would strip her naked and pour cold water on her head. That she had to sleep on the floor without a bed, bedsheets or pillow was a form of punishment. Something that I read that broke my heart. Arabella spoke about the movie Annie, but she told the teachers she wasn't like Annie, because when Annie got adopted, all her hurt was gone. However, she was still hurting. Neighbours would also report to news media that Letitia hated the girls and openly complained about them, constantly complaining about their temper tantrums, that the McCormacks seemed unnaturally obsessive about their food and weight. Other neighbours would report never seeing the children. One neighbour who'd moved in 4 years earlier only saw the girls once. Arabella's biological parents also placed reports with CPS, following their last visitation with the girls. And I would say the report was why this was the last visitation, and why the McCormacks stopped these happening. But Toriana and Chelsea claimed they saw signs of starvation and abuse, reporting their concerns to CPS and the Rock Church. And this was where the visitations would take place. They had pictures to back up their concerns, but neither took these reports seriously. And the Rock Church 100% knew what was going on and just how serious the situation was, and they did nothing. Letitia told a prayer group Arabella had such bad behaviours that they couldn't have people over, that there was spiritual warfare and demonic activity with Arabella. Several church members were mandatory reporters, but no one did anything. Now, Arabella's school did do their duty and reported their concerns 4 times. And Arabella was interviewed 2 times in front of her parents. So obviously Arabella denied these allegations, most likely out of fear of retaliation, or maybe thinking if she protected her adoptive parents, things would get better. But because social workers didn't interview Arabella separately and didn't take the many, many reports seriously, no action was taken by authorities. The girls were removed from school to be homeschooled and the adoption was allowed to proceed.
What Arabella suffered is a failure of a systemic approach that has failed time and time and time again.
Some of the alleged abuse was reported to county social workers by employees at Arabella's school, but never followed up on, according to civil rights activist Shane Harris, who spoke at court with Arabella's biological mother by his side.
Teachers failed Arabella. The county failed Arabella. Law enforcement, some, were involved in felling Arabella. Mandated reporters could have done better in this situation.
During the investigation, authorities found text messages, videos, and photos. They obtained witness statements that would all reveal that the girls' adoptive parents and grandparents had teamed up to starve the 3 little girls. During the day Arabella died, Brian had communicated with his wife via text messages, saying that Arabella was starving to death, and he believed she was going to die. But he didn't do anything about it. He didn't take the 11-year-old to the hospital or call for an ambulance. He just told Letitia, who he knew wasn't going to take any action to save Arabella either. Another message from Brian to Letitia, talking about one of the girls sitting in their own waste, quote, "She can soak in that shit and get sick. Bella will be done soon, and we will only have two to worry about," unquote. In addition to all the other horrific treatment Arabella and her sisters went through, they had been hit with sticks, paddles, isolated in their rooms. Sometimes Arabella would be punished for the smallest indiscretions. Letitia told her father to give Arabella no chances when she ate cereal, that her spoon should not be heaping and should almost be at level. Brian smacking Arabella for overloading her spoon and looking around while eating. Arabella was also deprived of bathroom trips and forced to exercise wearing wet clothes and plastic bags in the weeks leading up to her death, sometimes running up and down the steps until she would collapse. In total, the prosecution argued, Letitia and her parents worked as a team to carry out more than 700 acts of abuse on Arabella alone. That's not even considering the abuse and neglect to Arabella's sisters. A $10 million civil suit was filed on behalf of Arabella's sisters, arguing that several agencies, organisations and workers failed to report possible abuse. The suit stating the surviving sisters suffered from a syndrome that presents after prolonged starvation, both girls appearing younger than their age and suffering from refeeding syndrome, a phenomenon identified during World War II, when prisoners of war were provided with food after prolonged periods of starvation, which subsequently caused them to die of cardiac arrest. The girls were nourished gradually and after almost a month in hospital, released with lasting physical and psychological damage as a result of the starvation and abuse at the hands of the McCormacks. Not only that, but questions were raised as part of the civil suit why Arabella and her sisters were ever placed with the McCormacks in the first place. The girl's biological father is an Indigenous American, so allowing the McCormacks to adopt the three girls, being a white family, it was a direct violation of the Indian Child Welfare Act. It's a federal law which prevents the unnecessary removal of Indigenous children from their homes. And if they are required to be removed, then Indigenous children are, by law, needed to be placed with a suitable Indigenous family. Now, as I mentioned, others knew about the abuse to Arabella and her sisters. In particular, those in the church knew about the abuse. A minister at the Rock Church, who was also a child abuse investigator and firefighter, he was also named in the civil lawsuit. It has been alleged that he visited the family on a number of occasions, with the last time being only a week before Arabella's death. At the weight she would have been, there is no way he wasn't aware of how dire the situation was. Not just for Arabella, but her siblings too. They would have been severely emaciated, underdeveloped and bruised. But that's not all, because as I also mentioned, Brian McCormack was a volunteer with the San Diego Police Department, and Adela and Stanley Tom were also previously working with the San Diego Police Department. But an officer Brian worked alongside visited the family home, and he allegedly witnessed the adults withholding food from the girls. This same police officer also provided the McCormacks with a wooden paddle for the purpose of hitting the girls with. And unbelievably, when this paddle broke, this police officer gave Letitia not one, but two more paddles to again hit the girls with.
I pray Letitia and her parents rot in that prison. I do. Because what they did to my children, they tortured these children.
Arabella's biological mother, Toriana Flory, told NBC7, quote, "The county needs to be held responsible for the death of my daughter. I'm not going to let go. And I'm not going to stand down for my daughter. My daughter is going to have a voice," unquote. Toriana said she was in a much better place and had gone through years of therapy. She and Chelsea have split because she now knows she deserves better than a violent relationship. She has had treatment to better live with her bipolar. Toriana has said she is fighting to regain custody of her two surviving daughters so that they can be a family again for Arabella.
"This is Arabella. This is my least favorite picture of her because of how skinny she is in this photo. And I held it up so they can see, so Letitia and her mother can stare at what they did."
Arabella would later be described by those who knew and loved her as beautiful, bubbly, loving and affectionate. She loved princesses, Minnie Mouse and the movie Frozen. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. We are now on YouTube. 2 episodes a month where you'll get an exclusive video including photos, maps and news clips. We are still learning what we are doing, so please be kind. But we would appreciate it if you head on over and give our videos a like and subscribe to the channel. This all will allow me to share more of the stories you want to hear. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.